Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined once again, and as always, by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. Good to have you both back. And on tonight's episode, we're going to discuss pitching. The Orioles Major League pitching staff is doing really well right now. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to get into Norfolk, where there was a combined no-hitter over the weekend with Chase McDermott, one of the Orioles' top pitching prospects, leading the way as the starter. But first, we want to welcome a new sponsor to Orioles on the Verge, and that is Bet Online, your number one source for all summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And now we'll get into tonight's episode, but first, one more thing to promote here at the top, which is that on Saturday, we'll be live at Checker Spot Brewing starting at 2 p.m. If you have tickets to the Orioles Diamondbacks game that afternoon, stop by ahead of time. Checker Spot is just a short distance from Orioles Park at Camden Yards. If you don't have tickets, come watch the show and hang out afterwards. Checker Spot's going to have the game on. We'll have a viewing party there. I can confirm that Checker Spot is a good place to watch the game. Bob, Nick, and I will be on the air, and we'll be joined by friend of the show and host of Locked On Orioles, Connor Newcomb. We might have more guests to announce between now and then, so stay tuned to our socials. So whether you've got tickets to the game, you just want to hang out in the area during the game, or you're going to be the guest splasher on Friday night, and you want to unwind on Saturday afternoon and hang out with some Orioles fans and talk some Orioles baseball, you're welcome to stop by. Checker Spot Brewing, located short distance from Camden Yards. Come check us out Saturday, May 11th at 2 p.m.
And if I can interject,
yes,
patrons, you get a free beer based off Checker Spot, what they told us. Join a Discord. If you're a patron, we will give you the code there. And here's a little tip for you guys that aren't patrons yet. You can sign up for as low as $3, and that's a cheap beer for the month.
Absolutely. So one more incentive to join Patreon, and we're going to drop our new top 50 later this week. So you're not going to want to miss that. We'll start off, though, with the Major League pitching staff on this episode, which has gotten a lot more interesting here in the last week or so. On one hand, you have the bad, which is that Grayson Rodriguez goes on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation. On the other hand, the Orioles pitching staff was flat out dominant last week. Since their 7-6 loss to the A's on April 28th, the Orioles have not surrendered more than two runs in a single game. And they were at their best in Cincinnati over the weekend with wins of 3-0, 2-1, and 11-1. John Means and Kyle Bradish both making strong returns from their respective injuries. Cole Irvin continues to pitch really well in the rotation. And we're going to get into the AAA staff in a little bit here, and looking specifically at their combined no-hitter over the weekend. But Nick, I want to start with you. We're kind of seeing now that the starting rotation is settling in a little bit, even with the injury to Rodriguez. You have Bradish, you have Means back. Irvin is throwing really well. Corbin Burns looks like an ace at the top of the rotation. Do you think that this is sustainable? And if so, what does it say about the Orioles going forward for the rest of the season?
I think overall, generally speaking, yes, it is sustainable, just because there are a lot of different arms that the Orioles could use in this situation. Even with Rodriguez down, you're looking at a pretty deep, solid rotation, and Rodriguez comes back. You've got Cade Povich down in AAA pitching well, but you got Albert Suarez now moved to the bullpen. I just think that the Orioles can keep things fresh and moving along this season, barring the Orioles have been super, super lucky this year as far as injuries are concerned. And as long as that trend keeps going, like pray to whoever you need to pray to, knock on wood, whatever you need to knock on, that keeps going. But as long as that continues, like this team can continue to kind of move guys in and out. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's pretty awesome that I feel like every couple of weeks since the season has started, we get to sit on here and talk about some new topic that's like, I never dreamed of us being able to talk about that particular topic. And like right now, it's like, how good is the Major League pitching? How are we going to fit all of these guys into the Major League rotation that are pitching so well when like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, well, we're actually like 3 or 4 weeks into the regular season now. So like 2 or 3 months ago, I was waiting every day for that like Orioles right-handed pitcher, Kyle Bradish, undergoing Tommy John surgery today. Like I was waiting for that tweet to happen. You're waiting for, you're watching John Means in those rehab outings. And I know lots of conversations about John Means and what he does in those rehab outings and everything and what those rehab outings mean. But you watch John Means in those rehab outings and know that he really hasn't been, he's crossed 150 innings once in his 7-year pro career. One of those years was 2020, but still he's really hasn't been available the last couple of years. And you're worried, like, how are you going to fill out this rotation? And now we've got too many arms, even with Grayson Rodriguez on the IL, we got a pretty stacked staff. And you're like, how do we get these guys enough innings? It's a fun problem to have. And I do think that this is sustainable just because, like, all right, Grayson comes back and you move either, you're moving either Kramer or Irving to the bullpen. Like, that's huge. You could give another guy, you could say, like, oh, Kramer's a little tight today. After this start, I'll put him on the IL, right? You can, now it's your turn to go get a 15-day break, and we'll throw Albert Suarez in for 2-3 starts while you take a little extra time. Like, this is fun. I don't want to be too overconfident because we're watching pitchers drop like flies out here across the landscape. But I mean, right now things going pretty well for the Orioles, and it's fun to sit here and talk about Cade Povich shoving down in AAA, one of the top pitchers in AAA, prime what Paul Skeens, yet we're like, we don't need him up here in the major leagues right now. Like, that's, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I was on vacation this past week. I was on a Disney cruise. I think the Orioles probably gave up, what, 5 or 6 runs in the entire week I was gone almost. Yeah, when I first saw the news that Grayson Rodriguez was on the IL, seemed to come out of nowhere from what I can tell. Obviously, a shoulder for a pitcher is always a scary injury because it's not as clear cut as the Tommy John or just elbow stuff in general. But now that it just seems like, you know, not, I would not say phantom IL. I am sure that there's an actual soreness here, but it seems pretty normal, nothing too out of the ordinary. And I think the fact that he's already throwing off flat ground again, like less than a week later, is a pretty good sign that he'll be back relatively soon. And I don't even think, Nick, you mentioned Tyler Wells will be back at some point this season, hopefully. And that's just another boost to the bullpen. Yeah, the bullpen was struggling there for a minute or two, but then Ciano Perez came back. He's looked pretty good since he returned from his IL stint. Obviously, you get Means and Bradish back. That's going to push a guy like Suarez into the bullpen, who got his first outing on Sunday, pitched 2 1/3 scoreless. I think his stuff's going to play up out of the bullpen. I think, honestly, he could be in the mix for closer at some point if Kimbrel's back doesn't stop acting up on him. Yeah, I think there's nothing other than thrilled to be about the Orioles pitching. I think the team our ERA is right around 3.30 as a team. Crazy. The WHIP is 1.10 as a team. The FIP is 3.68 from what I have here, and that's seems pretty sustainable to me based on the numbers here. Not really walking too many guys. Strikeouts are just under a batter per inning as a staff. Johan Ramirez getting a claim by the Mets, that might hurt a little bit, but no, other than that, yeah. I mean, to me, John Means was the big story. It's like, I will never worry about a John Means rehab again, even if they're is likely not to be, hopefully, another one in an Orioles uniform. Everyone's worried. Means is cooked. He's done. Comes out and probably pitches a game that's on par with his no-hitter that he threw in Seattle. 7 shutout innings, no walks, 8 strikeouts. Gotta love it. And Bradish beating him back to the majors, like Nick said, if you told me that in spring training, no chance I believe you. But Bradish looked great. Obviously, they're going to be a little bit careful with his innings. Should have got out of that first inning super cleanly. Weird stuff went on there. He escaped it. Couldn't finish 5, but he seems like he's just Kyle Bradish for the rest of the season, which you got to love.
So, Bob, on the Disney cruise, are there any characters on there that are surprisingly into baseball? I'm curious.
You know, I couldn't find one. Captain Jack Sparrow, I think he was too drunk to really have a conversation whatsoever, but no. It was a fun time, but there was not much baseball talk to be had, so glad to be back here. And I mean, it was a good time. I'm not saying I'm so glad it's over, but I did miss the baseball of it all. So ready to get back in the mix. I don't think I'll be on another vacation this year unless we get like 700 new patrons. So yeah, I'm here for baseball season.
We'll send Bob and his family on another vacation and sign up for Patreon today. Going back to the Orioles pitching staff, and Nick just mentioned that one of these two pitchers might have to move back to the bullpen when Grayson Rodriguez returns. So I want to talk about Cole Irvin and Dean Kramer for a minute. Irvin has now thrown 20 and two-thirds scoreless innings in a row. Kramer, meanwhile, coming off a really good start against the Reds on Sunday, six shutout innings, just one hit allowed, six strikeouts to one walk. And I have made the point before about Kramer on the show that I think if Kramer was on another team, Orioles fans would look at him as like, why can't we trade for a guy like that? Put him in the back of your rotation. He's not going to cost you a whole lot in terms of money or prospects. But because Orioles fans live with the highs and lows of Kramer from start to start, they're a little harder on him than they would be otherwise. I actually think that he's fills a pretty valuable role in the rotation at this point. So, Nick, I'll go back to you. Just looking at Irvin and Kramer specifically, if one of them does have to go to the bullpen, who is it going to be? And with what they're doing right now, and I'm thinking more so about Irvin with his scoreless inning streak, is there a possibility that either of them are in line for a really good season?
This is a tough one because I have a lot of respect for Dean Kramer, to be honest. And I remember, was that 2 years ago, whenever it was, when they had sent him back down to AAA. And I remember us talking about Kramer. And it was that Nashville. Was that Nashville or Memphis? It was Memphis, where Norfolk, every time they went to Memphis, it was a disaster, to put it nicely. And there was a Dean Kramer shirt, I'm pretty sure that was in Memphis, where his body language, he just looked dejected, like, this is it, I can't do this anymore. It looked terrible, and you just felt bad for him. But I was kind of out on Dean Kramer at that point, thinking he's not going to be able to rebound from this and get back to the major leagues. And he eventually did, and he had a great season last year, and I firmly believe that he can be a really solid 4 or 5 starter for you. And I think that's exactly a great point that Zach had, that yeah, if he's on another team pitching as well, like, this is a guy who I think a lot of Orioles fans are anxiously saying, like, let's go after him to shore up the back end of the rotation. You do have to live with the highs and lows, and maybe he's not the guy, we talked about this before, maybe he's not the guy that makes the playoff starting rotation, but to be your number five over the course of a regular season, Dean Kramer is not a bad guy to have. There are a lot worse pitchers out there that you could have at your number five. But like, when you look at what Cole Irvin is doing and some of his numbers, I don't know. Like, I'm going to ride the hot hand right now. And I think if everybody is healthy, if Grayson Rodriguez is coming back in a couple of days or a week or so, whenever, I don't know how much longer he has on his IL stint, but if everybody is healthy and you've got to move one of these guys to the bullpen, I'm probably putting Dean Kramer down there for right now, just because I think he could be really effective for, you know, two innings here, two innings there. I'm curious to know if he actually could hold up. Cole Irvin seems like the more logical fit, but I mean, you look at Cole Irvin's like Baseball Savant page, and I mean, there's he's not getting the whiffs, he's not getting chased, like, he doesn't have the big fastball velo, but he's not walking guys. He's in the 82nd percentile in ground ball rate. He's got an ERA of 2.86. His expected ERA is 3.73, and a lot of Dean Kramer's peripherals are a lot worse. Like, Cole Irvin's the average, you look at how hard guys are hitting the ball off Cole Irvin, it's like 3, 4, 5 miles per hour lower than what they're hitting off Dean Kramer. I don't know, just kind of superficial, just kind of diving through some of these pages here, like right before we came on the air in early this afternoon. I don't know, I've kind of been swayed that I'm going to ride this hot hand with Cole Irvin, because I think the adjustments we saw were real. And yeah, we saw that increased velo, but it was a lot like John Means a couple of years ago. And I know Ben McDonald's talked about this a lot on some broadcasts that Irvin's been pitching. It's like he's reining that velo back down a little bit, and we're seeing everything else tick back up, and it's working for Cole. So I don't know. I think I'm under team, if everybody's healthy, put Kramer in the bullpen right now. And again, what a luxury. Like, how many teams can put a Dean Kramer and Albert Suarez in their bullpen? Injuries are going to happen. We know as soon as Grayson comes back, someone else is going to get hurt. This is baseball. This is what's going to happen. But if it doesn't, and we can have even just a couple of weeks of everybody healthy, that's huge. And it could help these guys like Aiken, like Perez, like Webb, everybody else. I think you can help extend this bullpen a little bit by having multiple long relief guys throwing for you.
Yeah, I totally see that point of view. For me personally, I kind of lean the other way, only because, and I do think that Cole Irvin's performance of late is sustainable. I mean, he hasn't given up a run in almost 3 weeks, so can't argue with that. I think he'll handle it better being moved to a bullpen role. And not to say that Kramer's not a team player, wouldn't be, you know, up for that if it came, push came to shove. But I just feel like he's got that starter's mentality and it's kind of been working for him. I think we saw Irvin transition into a long relief role last year and worked really well. I just think he would be more game and less rock in the boat if he's the long man slash spot starter. You know, like you said, injuries happen. Opportunities will arise, a doubleheader here or there. I think he could handle that role a lot better. Kramer, he's been pitching great. He's given up 19 runs, and most of those are because of he's given up 8 home runs. So he's got a whip under 1. I think some of that he's actually made changes. I think what you're saying about him being like a good fourth or fifth starter described him last year and the year before. I think he's made changes to his arsenal that maybe he can be a legitimate number 3 starter in the majors. I don't know if that'll ever happen. He would need to be more consistent, but I think his cutter has come a long way. It has more, I think it has stronger depth this year. It's a little more slider-ish, and his splitter that he's developed has shown flashes of being pretty good. So I say keep him in the rotation for now, but I don't think you can really go wrong either way.
I'll throw this out there as one last question relating to the major league side before we talk about Norfolk. Danielle Allentuck brought this up in a recent episode of the Baltimore Banner Baseball podcast, and it got me wondering, should the Orioles or will the Orioles go to a 6-man rotation early in the year? We saw this down the stretch last year, and it worked pretty well for them. So is that something they would consider when Rodriguez comes back? Rather than bump someone down to the bullpen, go with the 6-man rotation for at least the next couple of months and see where it takes them?
I generally, to jump in, am against it. But if you do it, I want Burns to still be on every 5 days. Like, this is your 1 year to have Corbin Burns. Not saying that you run him to the ground, race Tampa Bay race style, but just you got him to be your ace. Let him be your ace. If it means that everyone else gets pushed back a day each time through the rotation, so be it. So that's what I think. I'd prefer just stick to 5, but if you do, Burns stays on his regular rest.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. Like, you got Corbin Burns to be your ace, and you want him making 30, 32, however many starts. You want him going every single 5 days throughout the full season, because when Corbin Burns is on the mound, I'm going to say Colin Burns. When Corbin Burns is on, we don't want Colin Burns on the mound. When Corbin Burns is on the mound, oh, man. When Corbin Burns is on the mound, like, you feel better about that day. He gives you an advantage each time he is out there on the mound. So I do also want him going every 5 days. I don't know. I don't know if I like it. Like, we talked about a lot, you know, 3-4 years ago, you know, during some of the dark days, we thought it could make sense with some of these guys. And the Orioles always, I think they came out publicly oftentimes and said, like, we're not doing a six man. And I know a lot of other teams are doing it. You know, the Dodgers have so many pitchers and they're doing it. Of course, they've got a lot of guys with injury concerns and trying to keep that rotation fresh for the postseason. I think it does make sense, and maybe you can do it later in the year. But for right now, I don't know. For right now, it's May 5th, May 6th. Like, I don't see them doing it right now, even when Grayson comes back and if everybody's fully healthy. I'd prefer, because it's tougher, though, because you can't – Cole Irvin doesn't have any options, right? You're not going to send Dean Kramer down to, you know, get other guys' innings. I don't know who else that has options. It's talking about starters that you're going to send down. You can't send Albert Suarez down. So, like, these guys are kind of stuck here. You've got to use them. I mean, they're not stuck. We want them here. They're pitching very well, but, like, you can't move them and kind of shift things around and be flexible with these guys. I'd prefer just stick with 5. And if you have to stick either Irvin or Kramer and Suarez in the bullpen for a couple of weeks, that's fine. Cause, like I said, you're going to help protect some of those short relief arms a little bit more, hopefully they don't get overworked this early in the year. And then as the season progresses, you know, these guys can get a little bit extra work. If Tyler Wells comes back, that adds a really fun wrinkle to this entire thing. Of course, he's not, I don't want him in the rotation. You put him in the bullpen, and that's an awesome later season bullpen piece to add. And that's going to help. That's what makes me feel so confident moving forward, because you look at the Yankees, you look at Tampa Bay, although Tampa Bay is just not doing anything this year. I kind of felt like coming to you that the Tampa Bay magic was going to eventually run out. And I think it's starting to run out here. Their pitching injuries just become too much. When I look at the rest of the AL East, like none of these teams can match up with this pitching, I think. And to have this luxury of having so many arms, let's roll with it. Let's just pound these teams with these extra pitchers, get that advantage, and wrap up the division a little bit earlier. I don't know. Then you can take your foot off the gas and roll back a little bit.
We'll move on now to the minors, because there was a big development on Friday when the Norfolk Tides threw a combined no-hitter in their 2-0 win over the Nashville Sounds. Chase McDermott started the game, and it was his best outing of the year by far. 6 2/3 innings, 11 strikeouts with 2 walks. He was followed in that game by Nolan Hoffman and Caleb Ort. And it's interesting to note that McDermott and Hoffman were actually combined, were actually part of a combined no-hitter last spring in Bowie. So almost an exact year later, they are part of a combined no-hitter in Norfolk. Now, with McDermott, this start was a reminder that when he is throwing strikes consistently, hitters just can't touch him. And that has been a problem for him to this point in the year. In his first 3 starts of the season, he had 5 walks each. And while it's been a little bit more up and down since then, Friday's outing was really the first time we've seen McDermott have full command of his arsenal within a start. And it was a good reminder of how sharp he can be. And while talking about Norfolk a little bit, we should note that Cade Povitz continues his excellent start with the Tides. A 1.11 ERA through his first 32 1/3 innings pitch, 45 strikeouts to 14 walks. So, Nick, I'll start with you here because you talked about this on a daily recently, focusing on McDermott for a minute. When he throws strikes and he's consistently in the strike zone, hitters don't square up on him. Friday's outing was great in the sense that it's a combined no-hitter, a good career achievement for him, but does it represent a turning point in this season where we start to see the command come back after it was not really there for the first few outings of this year?
I hope so. I mean, he took a perfect game into the 7th inning. That is amazing before he walked the first batter in the 7th. It's not this simple, but just freaking throw strikes, man. Like, I know it's way more complicated than that, but I looked at his last 5 starts here and went back through. God bless Baseball Savant being able to dive into some of this for the AAA guys now. But if you look back at his last 5 starts, he was throwing his fastball. He was throwing it in the zone between 41 and 44% of the time. He had 1 good start and 1 decent start, not counting this no-hitter, a combined no-hitter he was a part of. But he had 1 good start, 1 decent start, and he was like 43 to 44% in the zone rate with his fastball. But he was also throwing the rest of his pitches in the zone like 42% or higher. And he had decent results. Not great. Again, none of those numbers are great, but he at least had much better results than every other start. He had 2 clunkers in this span of 5 games with similar fastball end zone rates, but his overall end zone rate was sub 40%. And one of those starts, he couldn't make it out of the first inning. The other start, I don't even know. I think it was one of those 5 walk games. It wasn't cutting it. You look at that last start, though, the no hitter, 60% of his fastballs were thrown in the zone and 50% overall. And look what happened. He has his best outing of the year and it worked. Like you said, I did touch it on the daily. Like John Mioli wrote extensively about it last year. He throws, and that was back in AA. When he threw his stuff in the zone, he was one of the best, if not the best pitcher in all of baseball, minor league baseball, as far as like opponent's batting average and, you know, the exit velos that were coming off of him. It's fantastic. And he wasn't doing that here in AAA. He did it, and look what happened. So again, it's not that simple, but that's something that really stood out to me. And I don't know if like there was an adjustment. Maybe they saw something in his setup. Maybe they saw something in his delivery and they tweaked it before the start and he had this stuff. I don't know. I don't know if Justin Ramsey saw something or another analyst and they were able to tweak it. I'd love to know. But something changed, and whatever changed worked because that was a fantastic start. And hopefully he can now find some sort of happy medium here because I don't need him to take a seventh into a perfect game into the seventh every time. But if he can find some happy medium between a perfect game into the seventh inning and four innings, five walks, three earned runs, six strikeouts, you got a pretty darn good pitcher here on your hands.
It's as simple as the stat you just said for him. I mean, if he can throw the ball in the zone over 50% of the time, I think he has the upside of an ace at the major league level. His stuff is that good. It's all comes down to that. And there's a reason we've been calling him right-handed DL Hall for a while. I didn't see any of the game. I was on a cruise. I was able to catch some of the Orioles game on Sunday on the plane ride home. I had to buy $8 Wi-Fi just to catch like six innings of that game. But I didn't get to see any minor league baseball. I didn't see any box scores till I got home. So this was a pleasant surprise for me. And the fact what you just said, he was throwing strikes, it just makes so much sense in the world. Like between him and Povich, the Orioles got these two guys that, man, they could really take a big step at the end of this year, if it's in a limited role, but next spring training, these guys are competing for rotation spots in the Orioles coming off their World Series victory. So McDermott, I think this year you want to see the progress and, you know, just throw more and more strikes as the year goes on, get used to whatever they're working with. Maybe when rosters expand in September, he can be a legitimate bullpen weapon. You add him to the bullpen, get him ready for the playoffs if necessary. You know, if people are worried about the bullpen by then, I think he's a legit option to come help that out in a big way. Povich, we'll get to, I think, is more of a starter help if the Orioles need it, which they may not, considering what we were just talking about this episode. But yeah, is obviously encouraging to see that performance.
And that just goes back to what I was saying earlier. That what a luxury. That, I mean, 2 years ago, if Cade Povich wasn't in the majors already, we would be begging. Could you imagine Orioles Twitter? And now it's like, we don't need... I love Cade Povich. What he's doing is fantastic, but there is no rush with Cade Povich. Continue to hone your craft down there in AAA. You're working with Justin Ramsey. You're working with the man down there. You're going to get better. Keep doing that. We don't need you in the major leagues right now. We don't need you in the major leagues right now, Chase McDermott. Keep getting better. And next year when they're in spring training battling for a rotation spot or some sort of a bullpen spot, whatever, like it's going to be fun. And McDermott, it's just the strikeouts are up. The ground ball rate is up significantly. The home run rate is down. Everything is better this year. It's just the walk rate. And hopefully this was a turning point, though.
Let's wrap real quick with Povich. His most recent outing was not his best in terms of command this season, but he still got the victory. Six innings, gives up one run on five hits, five strikeouts against four walks, and that was last Wednesday against Nashville. And you're absolutely right. If this were 2 years ago, every episode would be, when is Cade Povich going to get called up? Right now, the Orioles don't need him, but with that said, and I'll make this the final question of the episode, do we see Povich this season? And if so, what role is it going to be for him? Is it going to be as a starter? Is it going to be as a bullpen arm? Is it going to be maybe a mixture of the two? What should we expect going forward?
I think so. With Povich, I know his last two starts, actually, you've seen the walks creep up a little bit. And I almost wonder at this point, this is part of where with minor league baseball, like, We just don't know what exactly guys are working on. And so my question would be, all right, we see Povich be one of the top pitchers in all of minor league baseball for his first four starts or whatever, and then the walks start to tick up. And my question is, are they trying something else? Are they like, this isn't working, or we want to add this, or we want you doing this in this situation, and he's trying to get comfortable doing that, and that's why the walks are up a little bit, but everything else is remaining consistently good. Like, that would be my next question with Povich as far as these walks. Even though like it had been an issue in the past, but I would love to be able to know like the game to game, like what's the game plan here? Because again, minor leagues process over results. But with Povich, I was kind of thinking like, if the Orioles are able to be lucky, continue this luck streak with the injuries, and you know, maybe like I mentioned earlier, like Kramer's a little tight after a start, and they're like, hey, we're going to put you on the 15-day or 10-day, whatever it is. We're going to put you on the IL, take a little bit longer, take a break, get your side work in, but this is your chance to rest here in June or July, whenever it is. But then like a more serious injury happens, and like Irving or Bradish has got to miss like 2-3 weeks now. Not super serious, but like another like real injury. Well, now you got two guys down unexpectedly. Maybe at that point, you bring up Cade Povich and he makes 2 or 3 starts. He gets his feet wet. He gets to learn. And then he's got all that video, all that data. He takes it back with Justin Ramsey and they pour over that and they work on that and continue to refine some of what they saw in those 2-3 starts in the major leagues back in AAA to close out the year. Ideally, that's what maybe would happen with Povich, but I think we mentioned this last time we were all together. I don't see them bringing up Povich to work out of the bullpen. I would almost prefer to see them do that with Chase McDermott, because I think the stuff would play much better out of the bullpen with McDermott.
Yeah, completely agree with that last point. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like playoff roster, this team we're going up against struggles against lefties. Let's bring up Cade Povich as an extra weapon. But during the regular season, yeah, I could see like there's a few injuries at once and you want to give him a look, or hey, doubleheader, you get to pull up someone for free basically and send them right back down. Povich is in line with as far as his schedule goes. And even if it's like, I don't know, we rain out against the Diamondbacks this weekend, please no, not Saturday. and they have to make it up later and they know when that doubleheader is going to be. You line up Povich to fall in line with that and come up and make a spot start. I think he will make his major league debut. I think it's destined to happen this year. I don't know exactly the scenario, but I think maybe a doubleheader is the most likely.
And that does it for this episode of Orioles on the Verge. We'll be back later this week to talk about two prospects who are heating up the plate at the minor league level in Kobe Mayo and Samuel Basayo. You're not going to want to miss that. And as a reminder, we will be at Checker Spot Brewing this Saturday, May 11th, for our live show at 2 p.m. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, check out our many social media channels, including Facebook, Threads, Instagram, X, TikTok, and YouTube. You can also find us over at Substack, OriolesOnTheVerge.substack.com, and sign up for our Patreon community. Get access to that exclusive top 50 monthly update that's going to come out this week, as well as your free beer at the live show at Checker Spot Brewing. You're not going to want to miss that. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, you've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, presented by Bet Online and part of the Believe Podcast Network.